Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Born to Talk radio show. My guest today is Debbie DiMaggio. I know what you're thinking. That name is familiar. She is an award-winning author of Mindset in Motion. She's a speaker, and she's a top 1% real estate advisor. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I mean that. When I saw your name, I went, oh my gosh, I'm a baseball person. Okay, so please tell us about yourself. This is just so we can just get to know you a little bit.
Absolutely. So I have been in real estate for 35 years. I love what I do, helping people move through next chapters. I'm also an author. I have authored my sixth book that we'll talk about. I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, and I'm a mother of two, and I have my own podcast, debbiepodcast.com, Mastering the Art of Success.
I did not know that, Debbie. Thank you for telling me. So you get what you get this, yeah. You know, isn't this a great format for letting people know about things? I've been doing this for over 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I've never met a stranger, and I've always met people that do amazing and interesting things. And I'm just so delighted that you're with me today. And we're going to be talking about your book. And in your book, which has gotten three amazing awards, you talk about your morning routine. And I was just wondering, what was the spark or turning point that got you to change your morning routine? Was the schedule out of control, and did you just need to refocus?
Yeah, I'd love to share it. It's so funny when I had that spark, and it wasn't a happy spark. I've always been an early riser. I go to bed relatively early, but I love the morning when no one's up. It's just it's my time, it's me time, and it's a time where it's quiet and there's no outside noise. So I was a little depressed, as happens with real estate. Our August typically is a quieter month in real estate, so I always say to myself, oh my God, am I going to get another client? Am I going to sell another house? I just tailspin. I know it's coming. It's been 35 years in the business, and I know it's coming. So one morning I got up and I went downstairs to our downstairs bedroom, and I just started going on YouTube, and I was just searching meditation and just kind of surfing on YouTube. And I came across Dr. Joe Dispenza, and I just dug deep in it. And I said, I'm just going to do this every day. And so it started out with just a little bit of watching and listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza on YouTube, but it has blossomed into quite something else.
Oh, it's funny. You know, I also do meditation. I start my mornings with a meditation app. I end my evening with a meditation app. And for people that are, you know, that are sort of riled up like I am most of the time, it's a really good way for me to calm down.
Yes,
other than
does.
Petting my cat. And I'm also an early riser. So I'd like to know, because when you talk about an early riser, what are some of the key elements? I think you might have three of them.
Yes.
For your 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. DiMaggio lock-in morning routine.
Absolutely. So I call it the 5 to 9 because that's more reasonable for most people. But I start my morning at 3:41 a.m. I don't know why I get up at 3:41. But there's three things. I call it hydrate, meditate, vibrate. So I start at 3:41 by hydrating with magnesium water. I put magnesium in my water. Then I put on my headset and what I call is the locking in. As soon as I get up, I put my headphones on so I hear nothing. I'm locked in. I'm just focused on whatever I'm doing. So I have to hydrate because after we go to sleep at night, we sleep a whole night, we're dehydrated. So I hydrate with magnesium water. And I become focused and intentional about before the day begins. Then I go upstairs to my loft and I meditate. And this is where I internalize and align myself. And I meditate, affirmations, gratitude practice. Of course, I'll get ideas, so I'll have to journal.
Yes.
And I do this before my coffee. Mm-hmm. And my coffee is a whole other thing. I'm very into biohacking and longevity these days. So the coffee is something altogether different. So after I do, and I do it for a long time. You now, for listeners, you can do meditation for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a minute, whatever it is, and you can build. Because when I first started, you know, it was hard to sit, to just not have my mind wander, which it still will wander. But you can do it for 5 minutes. Don't think you have to do it for hours. I just get up early. I get up early, so I have time, and that is my happy time. I like to just kind of start the day that way. So, and it gives you clarity and confidence and purpose and focus. And you can really think about, just kind of just let your mind wander and think about things that you want to do, not your to-do list or what you have to do that day, but explore what do you really want to do in life? What's going on? What do you want to practice? So then the third one, that's the whole meditation part. The third is to, I get on my vibration plate. I'm still wearing my headset, but I get on my vibration plate because that's really good for lymphatic drainage. And it feels really good. And it's just another way to activate my, this is to activate my body. So I hydrate, meditate, and vibrate.
That's really interesting. I understand all of that. And, I think routines are very important. And I was just wondering, how do you feel about doing your lock-in morning routine? How does that make you feel each day?
Oh my God, I'm so focused. And this is another thing. When I'm doing a podcast, whether it's sometimes I don't have my mic, but I still have to wear my headset, because when I have my headset on, I am locked in. I am focused on the task at hand. I do this when I run on the airplane. I don't have to be listening to anything per se. I could just put the headset and I'm just present with myself. So if I'm on a podcast, I'm present with the guest, and I'm not looking around or thinking about doing other things. So for me, the locking in is it really calms me and it focuses me, and I need to focus because I am a multitasker, as you can hear from my bio.
Yes. Tell me the name of your podcast once again.
Yes, it's called Mastering the Art of Success. And it's live every Thursday at 11 a.m. on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And then, of course, it's always there. You can go to debbiepodcast.com. It will take you right to the YouTube.
All right. I will make sure that people know that. So it's debbiepodcast.com.
Yes. And Debbie is D-E-B-B-I, because even in kindergarten, I wanted to be different, and I dropped the E off of Debbie.
Yes, you did. I love that. So has anything changed since you started doing your locked-in morning routine?
Yeah, I feel like I definitely have a routine, which I love. So I, no matter where I am in the world, no matter where I am, I will do it. I will find a place and a space to just have that time by myself. And it really aligns me for the day, and it just makes me feel great. So, what I've noticed over the time is actually that I could actually do it. When I first started, I read a book. A newscaster wrote a book on how he was trying to learn how to meditate. His wife was meditated, but he's a really busy reporter, and he's always busy, and he couldn't even imagine meditating. I remember reading his book, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel this angst. And then he's like, he learned, and then I can't believe that I can actually, because I do not sit still, I could actually sit still and be there. And it's a training, right? It's where we're training a muscle. So it's, you know, don't feel, and I know people think this in meditation, I was there, don't feel like, oh my God, I can't do it, or my mind's going to wander. Yes, it will. And then just bring it back, what they say, to your center eye. Bring it back and then just remain calm. But you know, you're not going to, well, actually you could probably do it in a busy place, put your headphones on and close your eyes, but it's just a great
way. Yeah. There'd be too much visual distraction, I think.
Yes. Yes.
So what advice would you give someone? They're listening. I'm a morning person too. Not quite as early as you, but I am a morning person. Mm-hmm. And what advice do you have for someone who's not a morning person and feels kind of stuck?
Yeah. And it doesn't matter when you do it. You know, some people meditate 3 or 4 times a day. It doesn't matter when you get up. You know, you got to find some time for yourself, even if it's 5 minutes, go sit down and just do it for 5 minutes, whatever time that is. Don't beat yourself up because you're not getting up early. you know, I don't like to stay up late. So I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just not a late person. So you just go, whenever you get up, do not beat yourself up. As those are my words of wisdom. Just do it on your own time.
Wow. So have you seen some changes in your life and the lives of others who are using this morning routine?
Absolutely. I hear people who, stories about people who do it and great shifts have happened. I just feel much more grounded and intentional in my day. I have more clarity. You know, as a writer, you have to settle before you can write. So in that settling, it's the same. When you practice meditation, it just settles you so you can lift off when it's time to lift off. And that's pretty much my day.
I love it. That's so cute. That's funny. I want to talk about your book.
Yes.
And the name of the book is called Mindset in Motion. And let's share this amazing congratulations to you right now. Do you want to tell everybody what has just happened regarding your book?
Yes, I just found this out this morning. I had no idea. Our mutual friend Liz, my publicist, called me and she says, I just want you to know, do you know that you hit number one in all three business categories? I said, no, I did not. I hit number one in time management for business, business decision making, and business leadership. That was not even a thought when I wrote the book. My book is to help people, as many people as I can around the world to achieve whatever it is they believe success is for them. It doesn't have to be what I think or you think. And
right.
when I heard it was a possibility of getting to number one, it just wasn't a thought. And so I could not be more thrilled. And the full name of the book is Mindset in Motion, Activate Purpose, Power, and Peak Performance.
I love this. And trust me, I will make sure that everyone listening will be able to know how to find that book. And it was on Amazon that you received that.
Yes.
Congratulations, right?
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's really outstanding. And you are to be commended for your efforts. So I'd be curious, why did you write your book, Mindset in Motion? I understand it has a three-part sports theme to help people win both the game of life and business. Tell us about that.
Yes. So let's go back. It's not a short story, but how it happened. It was
sure.
Years ago, someone wrote an article about me and they interviewed me. And at the end of the interview, the article went out and they named it Accidentally with Purpose.
Oh.
Has been my entire life. I'm going in one direction and then something happens, whether it's divine intervention, coincidence, you know, it's just meant to be. But I've stepped into so many things by accident. And this book is no different. I set out March of last year. My husband said to me, which he'll probably never do this, because every time I get a little bit of time, I create something and it takes a lot of time from everyone else. So he said, I'll do the open house today. You stay home. You did the open house on Saturday. I said, all right. Well, I started scrolling on Instagram and this guy kept popping up and I'm like, who is this beach surfer guy? I'm not even a beach person. And I dug a little deeper and he was selling a course for a TED Talk course. And he was sharing his story. So I went down the rabbit hole and I thought, you know what? I've had my podcast now for over a year. Maybe my next thing, I always practice real estate, but I always have to do something interesting, some kind of goal that's outside of real estate. So I said, all right, I'm going to buy the course. So I bought the course. And as I started taking the course, this was the same Sunday I bought the course, I started writing because I write to find clarity. And I was writing and writing and writing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't, this is going to be hard. 15 minutes you have to speak on stage and you have to memorize it. I can't memorize. I could only speak from the heart. I can't read a script. I can't memorize anything. It has to come from my heart. So as I'm writing and writing and writing, I was a little frustrated. Am I going to write on the empty nest? Am I going to write on real estate? What am I going to write on? Helping others, coaching. So I woke up, I went to sleep frustrated. I woke up the next morning and I said, oh my God, I've got to write another book because I need to find clarity. And so I started writing and writing and writing and writing. And next thing I knew, it had blossomed into this idea called Mindset in Motion. My goal is to help as many people as I can. And that was an easy one for me to choose. And so that's how it happened. As I talk about in my book, I talk about the pivot and adjust. Sometimes we're going in one direction and we have to pivot and adjust, whether that's the real estate market or whatever that is in life, right? And I got the pivot and adjust came to me when I was watching. I used to watch my son all his life playing lacrosse, and I would see him pivot and adjust, whether in lacrosse or football. And I'm a writer naturally, so I'd be watching, and I'm like, and so I said to myself, it's not unlike an athlete on the play field in the game of life. And in life, we have to, in business and in life, we have to pivot and adjust. We never know what's coming our way.
No.
And we have to be agile. And so I think for some reason, I do not know why, maybe it's from all those years of watching my son play, but I see things in framework. So in my book, I introduce the 5-step framework called the Mindset in Motion Method. And there's 5 steps. And so how I go through those 5 steps and introduce and write throughout the book, there's this theme that you just asked me about. It's written in a 3-part series with the pregame, which includes the meditation and the vibration plate and the hydration and just all the pre-stuff that an athlete would do prior to setting, you know, getting their mindset right before the game. So I talk about the pregame. Then I talk about the game and the halftime and pushing and all the great things that you'll find in the book. And then at the end, whether you've won or lost a game, there's the learning, and that takes place. So it's broken up into those three phases.
That's great. How long did it take you to write that?
Well, my book coach said a year, that's fast. I said, oh my God, that doesn't seem fast to me. I said, I lost quite a bit of time. I spent 6 months helping a 90-year-old friend move, and not just move, but get acclimated to her new retirement community. She has no one left. I'm a friend. And so there was no one to support her. So I spent a lot of time away from my book, because I do have a full-time job in real estate. So, you know, I didn't have extra time to spend towards the book. So less than a year, about a year, I'd say, to write the book. And then there was the whole cover and getting it formatted, et cetera, which took some of its own time.
When you would get ideas about something, you're out of the market, you're doing your laundry, whatever it is, do you have some kind of technique that you have paper nearby? It's like, oh, I need to remember to say this. Or
Absolutely.
What do you do? I know what I do.
Yeah, my phone. I mean, thank gosh for the iPhone, because my notes, I use that note tab like nobody's business. So every idea. So when I sit down to do my lock-in and my meditation and stuff, I have my phone next to me. I try not to use it, but I do have it there in case I need, because when I'm meditating, obviously an idea will pop up. And I don't want to forget it, so I will jot it in my notes. And the good thing about when you put it in your notes on your phone, it'll go to your laptop. So when you're going to write, it's on your laptop.
Well, you know something? I'm missing an opportunity. I make it more difficult for myself. And I have notes also on my iPhone that I absolutely never use.
Oh.
Do you know what I do?
What?
Because I do a lot of walking. That's part of – I've got that fitness ring on my watch, so I –
nice.
You know, I close my rings every day. I'm determined. So sometimes I'll be out and I'll get an idea. I've been writing the word of the day every day. Today was word number 3,428.
Wow.
Every day I publish something called the word of the day. And I pick a word, and then I have quotes around that word. Well, and I have an Excel spreadsheet. Of course I do. So why would I know how many words I've written? And if I've already used that word before, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so sometimes I'll just think, oh my gosh, this would be a really good word of the day. And so I send myself a text. That's what I do. Yeah, I don't want to lose the train of thought. And
Right.
so maybe I should try checking out notes because that isn't something that I've done
Oh, yeah,
before.
you should
And that
use
might be
notes.
even easier. So let me ask you, what are your three top advice tips for how to change your mindset when you're sort of feeling defeated to winning mindset?
Yes, well, the first one is get into motion. When you might be at home and you're just kind of, maybe you had a bad day the night before, maybe something didn't go right. Get up, get out, and get into motion. You need to put one foot in front of the other. You never know when you get out who you're going to see, who you're going to bump into, who might change your attitude. It usually happens. A smile, someone smiling at you. There's so many things that could happen when you just get into motion. The other thing, number two, is to when you get up, get dressed. Put something on that makes you feel good. Get up, get dressed, get out, get into motion, but feel good. Feel good the way you look. Put your favorite outfit on, favorite jeans, whatever it is. Put a little makeup on or, take a shower, whatever it is. Just make yourself presentable because the rest will follow. And then the last thing is to make sure you're eating right and you're hydrating. Don't go eat chocolate cake. I mean, I love chocolate cake, but don't go eat sugar if you're not feeling good, because it's only going to make it worse. Have some protein. So those are my three tips to really get you moving.
I like that. It's funny, when you say get in motion, that to me means exercise.
Oh, it could be
So,
that too. Yep, if that's a good one.
or sometimes, like you say, it's meditation. Or I also take yoga online because
Yep.
I find that yoga is a very helpful thing for me physically, but also just that breathing and that meditation app has a lot of to do about how to breathe properly as well. And
Absolutely.
if you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. And so I think that that's really important as well. And I understand what you mean about eating right. I could do a better job in that for sure.
Yeah.
But
And I want to make it easy for people, right? So yes, it would be great if you go do yoga, go to the treadmill, go do this or that, but just get up and go for a walk, right? Just get
right.
outside, put some sun on your face, go for a
Yes.
walk, or even if it's just around the block, it
Absolutely.
doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter. Just get out and get some fresh air and just get into motion, whatever that is for you.
I live very close to a university, so it's one of the places. I live by Loyola Marymount University, and it's one of the places that I walk. But I'm sure that you notice the same thing, and we all notice that if we're walkers, are the dogs. Oh
Yeah.
my God, have you ever seen so many doodles in your whole
I
life?
know. That's so true.
But they're so cute. I mean, obviously I don't take my cat on a leash, but I'm always, because there's dog parks where one of the places where I walk. And I've personally, I know this is about you, but I've never met a stranger.
Right.
I
No, I know
feel
that
that,
too.
do you feel the same way?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I just love my podcast, because I get to meet strangers. They're not strangers. I meet people every day. They're just people, and they're like, okay, you're my new friend.
And then is your podcast audio or
It's
is it audio?
audio and visual, so you get to see everyone.
Wow. How long does it last, your
It's
podcast?
about 50 minutes.
And how often do you have it?
Every Thursday, 11 a.m. live.
Wow, you do it live. And you must know though ahead of time who's going to be your guest.
The funny thing is with me, like I told you, I said, I can't memorize. I just have to speak from the heart. And that's what I do with my podcast. See, the only thing I get, I mean, I ask them for photos because we do a photo, as I'm reading their bio, there's a photo, video, or, go scrolling through photos of them and whatever it is they do. And I have their bio. And oftentimes I have not even read their bio. So what I typically do is right before I go on, I read their bio just so I'm pronouncing their name
Yes.
and everything right. And there's a
Sure.
comma the way I want to read it. But I don't really know much. I might know they're a realtor or a coach or something, but I don't want to. I want to read their bio and then I let my mind just ask questions. So there's no rehearsal on my part.
That's interesting. So you don't know if they have a website, you don't know anything really about them?
Well, I they have all that, and that all gets included, but I don't need to research because my mind is naturally curious and I want it to flow. I want to have a
Sure.
conversation. I feel like I'm really, when I'm doing it, it feels like just the two of us and there's no one else. I mean, we do have the producer that's there, but you don't see him. He's in New York and I'm in California, and the guest is could be in Ireland or India or
Right.
wherever. So we are just having an authentic conversation, and I am naturally curious. So sometimes I have to keep track. Like I'll have so many questions, I have to like remind myself, okay, don't forget
Right.
that question.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's so funny what you just said, because if you were to line up a bunch of podcasters, I would say 90% of them consider themselves interviewers. You and I are not in that category. I
No.
do not consider myself interviewing my guests at all. I
Right.
might want to speak to my guests ahead of time so I'm certain that I'm covering what it is you want to talk about. And a lot of my guests have publicists and they help me with that as well because I want to make sure I'm a team of one. So I need the help to know, you know, do you have a website? Do you have social media? What is your bio? You know, I want to get a picture of your book so I can have that there. I want what you know, are we on LinkedIn together? Whatever that might be. I like to know those things in advance. And I like to talk to my guests, frankly, prior to doing my podcasts so that I feel like when we go on the air, it should sound exactly like we're walking down the street together having a conversation. That's on my web, that's on my business card. Conversations plus connections equals community. I'm having a conversation with you, and I have a conversation with all of my guests, and you and I have that in common. But I
Absolutely.
would also say that something else we have in common. When I heard from your publicist your last name, I went, "Oh my God. I know the name DiMaggio. I'm grew up with listening to Vin Scully and the Dodgers. I grew up listening to all of that. I am a baseball fan. I'm a Dodgers season ticket holder since 1986 with three other families that live in this community."
Wow.
And when I thought, is she related to Joe DiMaggio? Oh my God. And the answer is what?
Yes, I am third cousins to Joe DiMaggio. Thus, I am third cousins to Marilyn Monroe through marriage.
What?
Right? He was married to Marilyn Monroe, so that makes me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's why I hadn't thought of that. So what is your rela so how are you actually related to Joe himself?
My grandfather, my father, my dad's father, and Joe DiMaggio's grandfather, I think, were first cousins, something like that. I'm third cousins.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow. It's well as you know, even if you don't, I can't imagine nobody's not heard of Joe DiMaggio. So, you know, I just I when I when I heard about your name, I went, he played for the Yankees, right?
Yep.
And what decade are we talking about? How long ago did he play baseball?
Gosh, like the 30s, I think, right? A long
Yeah.
time ago. But he's, yeah,
Oh,
and
gosh.
even young kids, if you're into you don't even have to be into baseball. He's pretty much a very, very famous, well-loved person for sure.
Gosh, that's just amazing. So, back to your mindset. I'm just curious, have you ever felt defeated? And if so, what changed your mindset? Was there a personal challenge behind that?
Absolutely. And I don't think I said this, but when I wrote how I came up with the mindset in motion method was I reversed engineered everything, all the goals I had achieved throughout my life, and I reverse engineered how I did that, and that's how I came up with the 5-step method. So I've been employing that method for years. And so when I am feeling down or some defeated or whatever, if it's by a person or the market or the economy or whatever it is, I just have to get into motion and get moving and change my outlook. That's how it is for me, and that's why the title is it's just everything. It's how I exist, how I live in life. It's my mantra. You just get into motion and change your perspective.
Yeah. How long did it take you? I'm sorry if you told me this and I didn't retain it. How long did it actually take you to write that book?
Well, let's put it this way. It took a year to write it because every week I would sit with my book coach on a Monday and she would ask me questions. I would have content. I started out with what I thought was the whole book until I met her. It grew into a much bigger book than I anticipated. But as once I decided on where, which was, she said, you have five books here, choose one. So once I said, I told her I really want to help people, then she said, just write everything. Don't worry about, just dump it. Write all your thoughts onto paper. Don't organize it or anything. Just write. So once she told me to do that, and then we would meet every Monday for an hour, and she would ask me questions based on what I wrote. And when she would ask me questions, she was typing. And so as
Oh,
she typed,
interesting.
I was like, at the end of the hour, I'm like, oh no, where did all that come from? Well, all of it came from me, prompted by her questions or because she wanted me to clarify. Like a lot of people haven't heard of the lock-in method. I thought I made it up. I don't think I did. But me wearing headset is a way for me to focus. And she's like, well, people don't get that. You need to write out what that is. So there were many times when I would say to her, well, that's obvious. She would say, no, that is not obvious. You just do things a certain way. You have a certain mindset. You need to explain it to people, break it down, and then you need to support it with a story. So I have so many stories and I would support it with the story. And then it's, and anyway, so it was a year, but let me tell you this, it was, yes, a year in writing, but it's a lifetime in learning.
Right. When you were in school, where did you grow up, Debbie? I don't know where you grew
I
up.
grew up in Piedmont, California. It's a teeny town near Oakland and Berkeley. We have no shops. We have three elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school, and now our real estate office. But it's a very small town. Just nestled in the hills of in Piedmont. It's called Piedmont.
Is that where you currently live?
I live in Oakland next door in the
Okay.
hills, right above
Okay.
the Berkeley, above the Claremont Resort in the Berkeley Oakland Hills.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to Cal Berkeley.
Okay. And what did you get your degree in?
Nothing that I use, but political science.
Well, you know what? That I understand that. I have a daughter that got a degree in theater arts, and she's in her 23rd year of commercial construction.
Yeah,
So
right.
sometimes our degrees just don't necessarily measure up, but it's still part of the learning process, isn't it?
Right, exactly. Going to college is really just growing up and learning how to overcome obstacles and get organized and to follow through. There's a lot, college is good for a lot of things, but it might not translate into what you do later. I think a lot of times it doesn't translate.
Right. Do you consider yourself a philanthropist?
Oh gosh, that's my golf game, that's my pickleball game, that's my, aside from my children, philanthropy is very close to my heart. I've always been involved in charity organizations, always having to do with children at risk. And we just had our two just two 2 weeks ago, we had our big gala for Children's Hospital, UCSF,
Oh.
Benioff Children's Hospital, Oakland. And we raised just over $100,000, but I was involved in a charity here in Beverly Hills where I am today, and Race to Erase MS. And that charity raised that I was a part of raised over $1 million. So
Oh my
it's
goodness.
hard to raise money. It really is tough, but we did raise money for the hospital. And I was every you change up what you do when you're volunteering in your committees, decoration committee, this and that. I was on the PR, public relations, marketing committee to bring more eyes on our event and our charity.
That's wonderful. Do you ever go to any philanthropy type meetings where you're like the guest speaker?
I haven't done that yet. No, I have not yet.
Okay.
Like to do that. This is this year's goal is to get out and speak.
I think you mentioned at the top of the app something about doing TED Talks, right?
That's on my list. This is on this year's list. It was supposed to be last year, but then I ended up writing a book. So that'll
Well,
be
hey,
this year.
there's only so many hours of the day because how do you balance, Debbie, how do you balance between your work life
Yeah.
and your Debbie life? What do you do? Is that where your What am I trying to say? Where you meditate? What do you do?
Yeah, so you know, it's all for me, it's all one. Everything I do has one purpose, and it's to help someone. And today, just last week, I was on a podcast. I was a podcast guest like this, and we had a great session, a great interview. And at the end of the interview, after we had closed, you know, stopped recording, he said, "Oh my gosh, I need your help. Can you coach with me? Can you coach me?" And I said, "Sure." So I just this morning had a one-on-one with him to help him achieve his goals. It was incredible. But my so everything kind of just messaged my podcast. I do my podcast. I'm real estate. I'm, you know, before I jumped on this, I had a real estate Zoom meeting with agents throughout the country. And then I booked appointments for my real estate clients. And so it all kind of just it goes. The only me time I get is really my morning routine. And the rest is, you know, all client collaboration with other agents. You know, there's no writing during the day because I'm moving too fast. Typically, I'll write maybe on a Saturday when my husband goes to golf and I have the house, and that's how I was getting my book done, was taking the weekends when I wasn't at an open house. You know, an open house is usually a Saturday or Sunday, 2 to 4:30. So I just weave it all together. It's like a quilt.
Yeah, we haven't really talked a lot about the real estate part of your life. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I love it. It's just part of who I am. When I was 25, I had no idea what I wanted to do. The only thing I knew I did not want to do was real estate. And here I am 35 years later. But it's, you know, meeting people and talking to people is what I love. And so it was a natural for me to have a podcast because I get to meet people every Thursday. I meet someone new, or it might be someone that I knew that I interviewed, but I didn't even really know their story. It's incredible. So real estate. So when I was 25, and this is something I like to share, I'm always trying to help that young person and myself or whoever that young person is and mentor them. You know, a lot of times we don't know what we want to do. So what I recommend, and this is what helped me, I was 25 and I had a few little jobs, but nothing that stuck. Nothing was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is my life. And I wrote down 10 points of what I liked and what I wanted. For me, it was very different. It was, I like something with a beginning, a middle, and an end. I like closure. So later that translated, yes, in real estate, in residential real estate, you have, you know, commercial that goes on for years. It's a whole different ball of wax. But with residential real estate, typically someone will buy a house and they'll close on it, so you'll have a project is complete, right? So I just said I wanted something. I did not know what it was. I just said I like a beginning, middle, and an end. I like closure. I don't want open-ended projects. I wanted to meet new people. I wanted to meet people from different cultures and different places. I'm from a very little town called Piedmont, as I mentioned, and it's very small. And there's three elementary schools, one middle school, and one high school. And I grew up there, and then we raised the kids there. So it's a very, very small place. It's 20 minutes from San Francisco, but most people don't know it because it's a little town with no shops. No one would go there unless you knew someone who lived there. And so the meeting the people and learning from different people, and I wanted the thing that I was going to do that had meaning and purpose. It wasn't just like, you know, being, let's say, a programmer where you go in and you program from this time to this time. Or, you know, I didn't want a job that was just a 9 to 5 and there was nothing at the end of it. It was like, okay, you did your work and you go home. No, I wanted to be part of who I was. I wanted what I called homework. And that it was not really. So when someone says, "What do you do for a job?" Well, I don't have a job. I practice real estate and I help people every day. And
That's interesting. Isn't it interesting how words have a
yes,
connotation to us? You
absolutely,
know,
absolutely.
what job means to you might mean something entirely different to somebody else. I
Yeah,
like that. So I have a question. I understand that you ran the LA Marathon, and I'd like to know, how did running the LA Marathon based on mindset alone versus physical training change your mindset, perspective, and productivity? When did you run the marathon?
All right, well, that was crazy. I don't recommend it for everyone because I did do it. This was a year actually before my book. So a year of February, a year before I started my book, before my book was even an idea, Mindset in Motion was not even born. It was nothing. That's why it's so important, because the marathon was a full year before. And so in January or end of December, my son said he wanted to challenge himself, because he had told us, we were sitting in St. Bart's drinking rosé, having lunch, listening to music on the beach, having a great time, playing dominoes. And our son dropped what was like seemed like a bomb. He said, I'm going to OSC. And I said, what's OSC? And he said, Officer Candidate School. And I said, what is that? And he said, I'm going into the Marines. And I said, my head was spinning. We have no one in our family there was never a talk about that. Never. He was 27 years old and about to be 28. And that's where they cut you off, because they want young people whose minds aren't, you know, fully formed into who they are. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to hold back the tears, and I'm going, I don't understand. Can you please explain this to me? I want to be supportive. I'm thinking to myself, but I don't know. I don't even know. I mean, the word Quantico is something out of a movie. It's not something that exists in my mind for reality. And then he explains he's going to be going away for a year. I mean, my mind is going crazy. So when I said, why? And he said, I want to challenge myself. Well, those five words just propelled me into a year of running. December 31st of 2023, and I locked in. I put my headset on, and I just went for a run in the neighborhood. And that followed by a 10K race before he went off to Quantico. We did together, and thank God he was only there a short time, because he thought it was going to be, he didn't do a lot of research. I think he thought it was going to be more, well, he didn't think he was going to have to be as long as he was supposed to be away. He also didn't realize he was going to have to represent the military in the way he dressed for like 7 years or more. He couldn't just come back, even though he was going to be on reserves. He couldn't just come back and be who he was. He still had to represent the military. He wanted to do the obstacles, and he wanted to challenge himself in that way. But thank God he came back. But I continued to run. I said, Chase, you can still be physical. You can still play lacrosse. He plays on the lacrosse adult league. He coaches lacrosse. So we continued to run. We did 3 Spartan races that year and multiple 10Ks. But in February, I said to myself, I had been researching the military like nobody's business. I had watched everything on YouTube. And what happened is I read this book, you know, how things happen, accidentally with purpose. All of a sudden, this book was in front of me on Audible, and I didn't know who the person was. And so I started reading the book listening to the book on Audible. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And so I don't know if you've heard of David Goggins. He's pretty famous. I did not know this at the time. And he had a horrible life. He had no support with his family. He was like 350 pounds, maybe more. He had a terrible, terrible life. And he didn't have money. He ended up going into the military. And then from there, he went and tried out for the Navy SEALs. Not once, but twice, he found himself running on broken shins. I mean, he went through it. They tried to kill him. But I listened to that. And so I was trying to understand, what is Chase going to have to do? Like, it's going to be his mindset and all this stuff that they're going to throw at you. You have to have a mind. Your mindset has to be just rock solid. So that's the one thing I got when I was through all this research of all these people who go in and do all these crazy extractions of these people. And, you know, all of the crazy things you see on the movie, or just what the military does out there on the field. And so I said in February, I'm going to run the LA Marathon. But I did not share that with anyone, because I was going to be 60 and people were going to be like, you're crazy. How are you going to run a marathon? It's February. You don't even train. You've run a couple miles here and there, but you haven't trained. So I did not tell anyone. But in February, I decided, I signed up March 23, a week before. I told my husband, you need to come to LA with me, because I'm going to run the LA Marathon. Well, he's known me long enough, so he's just like, whatever, of course you're going to do that. So he came down with me, and I just went, and I just did it. I just kept going and going, and I'm like, okay, you don't know what you don't know until you know. And I'm like, I'm either going to trip, or I don't know. I didn't know. I did not know what could happen, right? I felt good. I just didn't know what could happen with my legs. I didn't know. So, but I just knew I wanted to do it, and I wanted to prove. And again, a week before, I wanted to prove that I could do it on mindset. If David Goggins had such a horrible life and he had no support, and I've had a great life and I've had all kinds of support, it didn't make sense that I couldn't, do that. I wasn't becoming a Navy SEAL.
Right.
So I did it.
Still
I crossed the finish line and I burst out into tears. I don't know why, but I just
I'm
was like,
sure it was emotional. I'm
I
sure
was,
it was.
yeah,
Gosh.
it was pretty crazy, but I don't recommend it because, it's probably not the smartest thing.
Well, I don't know that not recommending it's necessarily, it's just that, you did do it, and if somebody wants to do it, they should go for it. So
Maybe
I
it's a
want
little straining.
there you go. I want to kind of move this just a little bit, and I'd like to know, how do people respond when you told them you were starting a new business despite the economic downturn during the Great Recession?
Yeah, so that was like 2008, 2009. It's funny, it didn't even occur to me. It was just kind of having a conversation, and then our partner said, "What about, taking over the Piedmont office?" It was a real estate office that wasn't doing well, and it started as a conversation, and then took me a while before I agreed, and then we just kept going. We were in motion. It did not occur to me. I mean, I knew it was. I mean, we were still practicing real estate. That was what we did. So it really didn't occur to me until my son told me one day, "Mom," he was looking at my podcast one sheet where you share, a few questions and who you are and what you do. And my son said, "Why don't you have that? You launched a company during the recession." I said, "It didn't even occur to me because we were just doing it. It was like that's what we chose to do." And it did not literally occur to me. A few times people did say, "Do you know it's a recession and you're launching a company during a recession?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I guess." I just figured if it didn't work out, we'll go back to our original company. So it wasn't really, it just didn't get in my way.
I don't think anything gets in your way. I'm sorry. I get that sense. But you know what? But that's okay. That's your mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand that. So, what was the hardest part about starting a new company? Investing your time, your money, your resources into this new business, and how did you overcome it using your mindset in motion method?
Sure. So let me tell you the five steps because there are those five steps. So
Sure.
the first step is you have a goal and you have to find clarity around that goal. So that's step one. So we were going to launch a company. That was it. That was our goal. Crystal clear. Launch a company and go as fast as you can to be known. We were not new realtors. We had been in the business a long time, so we just needed to get our new brand out there. So we were crystal clear on the goal. And again, when I did this in 09, this was not a thing. I'm just now telling you how it could fit into any goal you have.
Sure.
A personal, a professional, going through a divorce, going through an empty nest, downsizing, anything you want to do, you can use this method. Get a goal, find whatever, identify your goal and find clarity around that goal. Number two is you have to believe it. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. Just believe it. Just blindly believe. The third step is to internalize it. This could be through meditation, vision boarding. We were creating our vision board for our office. Whatever it is, you want to internalize. What does it look like? What is it going to look like? And then the fourth step is to share with supportive people. I used to say share, but then I had to say, well, some goals need to be shared with supportive people because there will be a lot of naysayers. Yes, during the recession, we were launching a company of, how many naysayers? It's like you have to be careful who you share it with. If I was to tell people I was going to run the LA Marathon in March when I booked it in February and I didn't train, I was training my mindset, how many people would have said, "You're crazy, Debbie"?
Yeah, right.
So then the last step of after share is to activate. And this is where the hard work comes in, the activation. And so that's what we did in our launching the company. We activated every day. It's like, okay, social media is a new thing for us. We hadn't been using it. So I had to learn everything about social media. So you just start getting into motion and you start figuring it out. You reach out to people. You reach out to whoever it is you need to do something. We need this, we need that. You figure it out along the way. And that's the activation, and that's the hardest part. And a lot of times people can do all the other stuff, but when they get to activate, they're like, "Oh yeah, maybe tomorrow." There's no maybe tomorrow. It's today. It's now.
And you did this with a team?
It was my husband and my partner, Heidi, and myself. The three of us were just boots. We call it boots on the ground. We were out there with boots on the ground.
Gosh. Were there three elements of success that actually helped you not just build your business, but actually provide a thriving business?
Never really thought of it that way, but sure. Mindset's number one. Don't let anything get in your way. If you have anything than a positive mindset and a positive attitude, it's not going to work. So your mind, what you're focusing on, what your mindset is, that will help you win. You got to put in the hard work. It's not easy, right? You have to work really hard. And you have to build relationships. That is so huge. You have to work with other people, work with other, in this case, real estate agents, work with your vendors, the community. You know, it's all about building relationships, strategic alliances.
Yeah. What advice do you have for people who may be thinking of starting a new business now, despite the rising prices and the real estate prices and all of that, you know, so much uncertainty? I mean, I know I look at the stock market every day, but what advice would you have for people that were thinking about starting a new business?
Get out of your own way and don't make excuses, because there's going to be some, I mean, like 2-3 years ago, whenever it was, I don't know, left track of time. Interest rates went up, and then the Ukraine-Russian war, and then, you know, then interest rates went down a little bit, and then we turned the corner into January this year and things were looking good, and then there was the Iran war. It's like there's going to be things in life that are you have no control of. Just, I told my parents, do not watch TV anymore, do not watch the news. When you're in my house, I've got YouTube on, I've got some nice music on, it's YouTube, and, you know, with where we launch our podcast, there's, you know, watch positive info. I travel on YouTube, but that's what's on in the background. Just can't get rid of all the negative news, negative talk, whatever it is. Just don't subscribe to it and just focus on what you want to do. But how many companies, you know, when we launched our company in the recession, there were plenty of other companies launching, right? So what are you going to wait for? When someone said, you know, you're launching during a recession. Well, yeah, we wouldn't have had the financial, it wouldn't have been financially feasible if we were to buy a company and try to launch at the top of the market, right? So we took over a company that wasn't doing well, and then we built it the way we wanted. So you have to look for the opportunities.
I'm looking at your website, and it's Debbie, DiMaggio.org. And remember, everybody, I'll have it written down, but Debbie is D-E-B-B-I. Don't throw the E on there. And I'm looking at your website, and you have something that's called Committed to Giving Back. What is that? What is that all about?
Well, for me, I've always been, I don't know how, where it comes from, maybe my grandmother, but I've always been one to give back. I believe, and it kind of happened. Now I put it into words. I didn't have the words for it when I was doing it. But by being involved in charity work, it makes me feel good. And I love giving back. And whether I'm giving back through coaching like I did to this gentleman earlier today, or giving back to a young person, mentoring them, it's just part of who I am. So giving back is super important to me. It's just it's what makes me tick.
So is there certain organizations that you give back to?
Oh, a lot. I won't go into all the charities.
Okay.
And all the
different. But you support charities.
A lot of charities and then also groups and individuals. And I've one summer I had three mentors, mentees. I'm like, or mentor, no, mentees. Yeah, I had three interns. I said, if I'm gonna have one intern and I'm gonna spend all this time training them, I might as well have three at the same time. So people reach out to me a lot just for advice, to help them. Just, you know, so it could be charitable organizations, charities, children's charities, whatever it is. I say I've never met a charity I wasn't passionate about helping.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. You know, A question that I like asking my guests, because we do have a few more minutes here. Knowing what you know today, what advice would you give your younger self?
That's my favorite question.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I made that up.
I say that. No, I say that too. I always say, what would you tell your 25-year-old self?
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. I never heard anybody say that before. So I'm glad that I'm in such good company. Now I'm turning the mirror over to you, sweetheart.
Yes.
So knowing
yes.
what you know today, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say stick to it. Yes, be patient, but pick something and stick to it. I think what happens, and I can speak for realtors who come in the business, let's say, you know, I've coached so many new realtors who join our company, and I sit with them and I go over whatever. I share them all the tools we have, and I share with them quite a bit. And I say, you know, check back with me in a month. This is a lot to digest. Check back and we'll continue on, and we'll continue to further your questions and get you up to speed. Oftentimes, most people just fall off the radar. Oh, I'm too busy. People have a lot of excuses. People, you know, I think a lot of people are wasting time. So I would just say, if you're going to do something, stick with it. And if you have to have a side hustle because your primary isn't happening yet, so let's say you're in real estate, it's like, real estate isn't happening yet, have a side hustle. One of our agents teaches, he's taught swimming for years. That's his side hustle. It's also a healthy side hustle, but he's not going to give up in real estate. And I believe he's not going to give up. It's not easy. So whatever it is, do it, stick with it, learn, talk to people. And I talk about this in my book, reach out to people you don't even know for advice. They don't know you. No one knows what you need until you ask. And that's another one. No one knows what you need until you ask them.
Sometimes we don't even know what we need.
Exactly. Exactly.
The way I got into podcasting, I mean, I didn't have any intention of doing this. I don't know that you know my background, but certainly if my husband hadn't passed away 17 years ago, I certainly wouldn't be doing this.
Right.
But circumstances happen, don't they?
Yes.
Sometimes there are circumstances that we can see coming. And frankly, sometimes there are circumstances, in the case of my husband, where you didn't have a warning. And
right.
suddenly this has happened. And I live with my cat. Thank you very much, my little baby. But, I have to have things in my life. Why do I immediately put my hand over my heart when I say that? I do, because I'm active in my Rotary Club. I'm active in my community. At one time when my kids were off to college, I had never worked. I was that PTA mom that didn't have to work. And so I was that volunteer person. And when the kids were both in college, I decided to get a job. And I went to our local YMCA, where I ended up working there for 10 years. And I just started, and of course I worked my way up, because I never shut up. So I, what can I say? I always got in trouble for it in school.
Me too.
Whatever. I mean, I tell people, I've never met a stranger, and
yes.
you probably feel the same way.
Absolutely.
Because I believe when you start talking to somebody, and you listen, we can both tell. It's like, oh God, here she comes. We can tell when somebody doesn't want to start that conversation.
Right.
And But I often wear a baseball cap of sorts when I'm walking, and that always leads to a conversation. My Dodger hat is one of them.
No.
And so I think that I would rather think that we can find things that we have in common. Let's try and figure out how we can all get along. You know, so you're in the market and you're buying some groceries. What's wrong with just being friendly?
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
I just that's how I feel. And I can hear that in you, that you're friendly, but you're also motivated, and you're directive, and you know what you want to do. You're not wondering about that. And that's what I think really adds to your ability to be so successful. And I'm just delighted, Debbie, that you were able to spend this hour with me. And I'm going to check out your podcast and see what
Thank
your
you.
Podcast is all about. But it's been a joy having you join me today.
Thank you so much, Marcia. It's wonderful to be on with you.
Thank you. I'm glad that the system seems to be working properly, which was my concern.
Right.
Because last week it didn't. So, but you know what? Hey, as my husband would say, it is what it is. And I would say, yeah, but he said, nope, it is what it is, period. Adapt. So
exactly.
That's what you have to do. Bless his heart. So thank you once again, Debbie DiMaggio, for being with me today. You can check out her book, her best-selling number one book in three categories on Amazon. And I just want to thank you again so much for being a guest and sharing your story with our listeners.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, everybody, you know what to do next. And I will see you next week. Bye for now, everybody.